A number of different countries spoke yesterday at a specially assembled emergency meeting of the UN, and a number of them were heavily critical of the United States' unilateral action in deposing and capturing Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Yesterday, while he was appearing in court in New York, the UN met in session. The Chinese, the Russians and other countries were severely critical. Denmark, European Union country, was also severely critical as well, a NATO country as well, very severely critical of what the US had done, not the least because of the words that it has said when it comes to Greenland and its designs on Greenland. A lot of countries were criticizing America for ignoring international law with its actions. The US, on the other hand, and US ambassador to the United States, Mike Waltz, told the assembly that this is where we live and we're not going to allow the Western Hemisphere to be used as a base of operation for our nation's adversaries and competitors and rivals of the United States. You can't turn Venezuela into the operating hub for Iran, for Hezbollah, for gangs, for the Cuban intelligence agents and other malign actors that control that country. You cannot have the largest energy reserves in the world under the control of adversaries of the United States, under the control of illegitimate leaders and not benefiting the people of Venezuela and stolen by a handful of oligarchs inside of Venezuela. Now, at no point in the US ambassador's speech did the UN Charter and the principles underpinning it get a single mention. For the Europeans at the meeting, the ongoing threats against Greenland were obviously at the forefront of their minds. Although no direct mention of Greenland was made, the message from the Danish ambassador, Christina Marcus Lassens, was clear. Denmark recalls the foundational principle of international law that forbids states from threatening or using force against other states' territorial integrity and political independence, she said. Whether that is going to make any difference or not is an open question. With me on the line to talk more about this from the, I suppose, international European Union point of view is Ireland South MEP Sean Kelly. Sean, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jerry. Happy New Year to you, Mr. Captain Aguirre. And before we get on to business, well done to the three Kerry clubs who are in the All-Ireland final, and we wish them well.
Yeah, indeed. And hopefully they go one more and win All-Ireland titles for exactly. Kerry. Sean, a very dark mood at the Security Council emergency session yesterday. Reportedly, diplomats looked pretty stony-faced, not happy with the United States. What are you hearing from your contacts in the European Union about the reaction to all of this, to this shocking move by the US administration?
I would say, truthfully, if he hadn't mentioned about going after Greenland and wanting to take over Greenland, while there would be an official response condemning it, I'd say secretly many of them would be at least glad that Maduro, who wasn't officially elected because he rigged the elections, we had a resolution in Parliament over a year ago condemning that, and they don't recognise him as the legitimate leader of Venezuela. So in that context, while the two wrongs don't make a right, what the United States did was wrong in according to international law, there wouldn't be any tear shed for Maduro being removed and hopefully replaced by a better leader and better government, and particularly one that will benefit the Venezuelan people because they have suffered enormously. It's absolutely ridiculous that a country of such wealth that the people can be so poor. So in that regard, there wouldn't have been a whole pile. But then when Trump compounded it by immediately saying that he wanted Greenland as well, that of course changed the whole atmosphere, because the US is part of NATO, Denmark is part of NATO, and to actually think that one NATO country would go in and take over part of the United Kingdom of Denmark, which is Greenland, then that would be absolutely ridiculous and couldn't be tolerated under any circumstances.
The question is, Sean, would it be tolerated if it was to happen? And it's a big if, but if it was to happen, what would the European Union do? What could it do to stop a country that acts this unilaterally with its military might in its own, as it's seeing now, sphere of influence?
Well, this is the point that I've been making for a few years now, since February 24th, 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, they said that the military capacity of Europe wasn't strong enough. They needed to build up their defences, but as you say, those defences aren't strong enough now. And there is very little, I think, quite frankly, they could do if Donald Trump decided to send the troops into Greenland and take it over. There would be a lot of saber rattling and so forth, but I don't think they have the capacity, nor do they have the organisation to unite against it, especially when it's a fellow NATO country. But of course, to throw NATO into collapse, really, because for one NATO country to go attacking another NATO country, that had been the end of NATO, and you'd probably see a return to a European type of movement to protect Europeans.
Yeah, and that's I suppose all part of the that's why the diplomats are so worried. So what do you think the European Union will do now in response to this? Because you have on the other hand this concern at the same time over Ukraine and what's happening there and any possible peace deal.
I think there'll be huge diplomatic efforts made to convince Trump and not to take over Greenland, but maybe to negotiate some kind of a greater involvement in it. They already have a base there, so maybe giving them a couple more bases and more opportunities to counter. And he's right in this regard. He said that the Arctic area is now full of Russian and Chinese ships. And you see, what's happening is that the ice cap is melting, so there'll be more access through the Arctic. So he's saying they're more vulnerable as a result. And unless they can control it, then there could be in big trouble in the future. But there's always a plan, another idea in Trump's mind. He had the same as in Ukraine. He wanted to get their minerals. And here as well, underneath the Arctic, there is a huge rare earth minerals which China controls the vast majority of right now. And obviously if America had Greenland, then they would have access to these. So it would be a double win for Donald Trump.
And that's what he's talking about. So we really are back to over a century ago in terms of world affairs, are we? Big powers doing what they like in their own sphere of influence. And if you're a small country in the way, it's tough luck for you.
Well, that's obviously the approach that's been taken, both by Russia, possibly China in due course, and now the United States, because it's basically Trump's way or no way, and those who stand in the way are being taken out of it or removed, and that's not a good thing. But at the same time, we have to improve in terms of diplomatic relations and try and convince them. And also, I suppose, look at other ways where they could be affected if they went too far.
Yeah, yeah. And but is there any way of doing that, Sean? Is there any control there now with what, you know, the actions of the US have effectively unleashed in any part of the world from here on out? China, Russia, anyone else will decide, well, if we want to do this in our area, then we will, because we can, because we're strong enough. And the UN or NATO, nobody will stop us. Or am I being too pessimistic?
That's a big risk, because we just don't have one superpower. We have a couple of superpowers, and we have others who will not tolerate it. I mean, the likes of Japan has said they're going to come to Taiwan's aid if China attacks Taiwan. So a lot of countries, including Europeans, I think if push came to shove, they just have to stand up and say, this has gone too far. We have to stand up for the rights of freedom, the rights of people, and above all, the rights of independent countries. So I think it won't go that far, but it certainly, it doesn't look great at the minute. But I suppose we have an opportunity, maybe through diplomacy, etc., and through negotiations, to come to some kind of a sensible arrangement.
Would you be hopeful that that will happen, that there will be no more action against any other country, particularly Greenland, in the meantime?
I'd be very surprised if Donald Trump and America decided actually to go in and take over Greenland. I would imagine they're looking for more leverage, and this is probably the position that Donald Trump always takes initially. he talks about the nuclear option, and then if people are willing to come along with him, he's inclined to change. And I think maybe the same here, because as I said, it is in Europe's interest as well to ensure that China and Russia don't control the Arctic. So maybe behind the scenes they can look at the situation and come to some arrangement whereby the threat to the United States is reduced, but also the threat to Europe. Because if Russia and China are controlling the Arctic, that's a threat to Europe as well. So we have common ground there, and I think that's what we should be looking at, to see how can we strengthen our defences, strengthen the presence there of the NATO involvement, to ensure that there's no aggression by either Russia or China there. And I think that's something that can work with.
And is that where things stand now? That's where the concentration should be from the European Union point of view, because there will be a lot who will be calling for breaking off relations, calling for heavier criticism than has come us to know. A number of Irish politicians have already been heavily critical so far of what's happened, saying Europe isn't doing enough to push back against the unilateral actions of the United States. You're saying you need to be a bit cleverer than that.
I think a little bit cleverer, yeah, because I'd be very surprised if it really comes to it that Donald Trump is going to order the troops into Greenland and take it over. He did offer to buy it once or twice, as America did many years ago as well. So they didn't get that. So maybe there would be an opportunity, I think, maybe to discuss the situation and have joint peacekeeping and watchful eyes there as well. So hopefully that can happen, but I'm not 100% sure. You know, a lot depends on the leadership, etc. But I think that if Donald Trump could tone down the rhetoric a small bit, and the European Union could up the ante in relation to diplomacy and the obvious consequences as well, if diplomacy didn't work and he didn't listen to them, then we might be able to come to some solution that will calm things down.
Okay. With this in mind, Sean, does this speed up, do you think, or strengthen the drive to rearm Europe in the next number of years?
It speeds it up enormously, because they have been saying that for many years. In fact, the Eastern European countries and their MEPs were telling me this going back long before Russia invaded Ukraine, that this was what's going to happen and they needed to rearm. And now most countries in Europe are actually urgently trying to build up their military and defence capacity. And this actually adds to it, because they know if they're not. And I think Donald Tusk said this, the Prime Minister of Poland, the other day. He said, if we can't defend ourselves, we're vulnerable. And if we're vulnerable, he said, we're going to be taken over.
That's the bottom line, isn't it? The real politic of it, as the Taoiseach said in China yesterday.
Exactly. The real politic, what's happening in reality, what you need to do, how you do it, and hopefully do it within the international law guidelines, which is what the European Union, in fairness, has always stood by, and I think we'll always stand by.
Okay. Sean, listen, on a separate note, you've been speaking in the media about your disappointment at what happened with the presidential election last year, and you've called for a change in the nomination process for the presidential election. Would that be a party change or a general change in how people are in general nominated to run for president next time round?
Almost everybody I spoke to since the presidential election were unhappy with the whole process in general. So it applies to the party, and it applies to the election itself. I think we probably need a referendum, because we can't change it without a referendum. I would say certainly, instead of having 2 7-year terms, it should be 2 5-year terms, and the process to get a nomination should be made much easier. Too many, maybe 10 Oireachtas members or 25 or 50 councillors, and maybe 2 rather than 4 councils in general, things like that. Because democracies, and we're talking about them the last 10 minutes, democracies can only survive where the will of the people is expressed and where the people are given choices to make their decisions. That really didn't happen in the presidential election. And I think also for the internal matters, I mean, for my own party, Fine Gael, to have a requirement that you have to have 20 members of the parliamentary party to get a nomination, that's far too high. As it stands, the maximum number of candidates we could have is two. And even the last presidential election, we had three candidates. So because of this rule, we could only have two. And if it keeps going and we happen to drop numbers or something, you could finish up with only one. So I think that has to change as well.
Yeah, so an easier path for anyone to get involved, as long as they get, let's say, 10 members of Oireachtas, two local authorities out of four, 50 individual councillors. You still have work to do to get on the ballot, but nowhere near as high a bar to clear as currently.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you have to have, obviously, some terms, but it should be easier. I mean, if we're looking at Jerry, the president's election covered 26 counties. We finished up basically with two official candidates and three, if you include Jim Gowan. But for the Ireland South election last year in the European Parliament, which is only third of the country, we had 21 candidates. So that makes no sense.
Yeah, that's a strange situation, all right, to be looking at. Okay, Sean, look, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much for taking time to talk to us, and we'll watch and see what happens when the European Union convenes a little bit later on this month as to what is said and what is done in relation to the Venezuela situation and effectively the new world order ushered in by that move. Give us your thoughts, 0667 123 666.